Hi, welcome to Gabbing with Girlfriends, and I'm Gloria Butler, and I'm also solo. I have not run out of friends. I enjoyed my last solo question section, so I'm trying it again, and then I'll probably be sick of myself, so I'll have to start answering questions with Gabby again, because she's so fun and funny. But anyway, thanks for joining. I started to say thanks for joining us today. Thanks for joining me today, or thanks for joining us, me, myself, and I today. I have loads of questions. First, I'm going to get it out of the way, talking about the eclipse. How awesome was that? I really wanted to post everybody else's pictures. I have friends that live in Dallas. I have a niece and a really, really close friend that lives in Dallas that sent me pictures their eclipse day. And I was so jealous. I didn't have all that where I was. And on top of it all, I'm the only person in America that didn't have glasses, eclipse glasses. I totally spaced. I don't know why, but I didn't have any. So of course that morning I went everywhere, absolutely everywhere to look for them, and got home. And my son said, "Oh, did you go to Warby Parker?" And I said, "No, I was looking for eclipse glasses, not normal glasses." And he said, "Oh, they're giving them away there." And I was right next to one when I was out running my errands and looking for glasses. Then I couldn't be bothered going back out again. But we didn't have it so good where I was anyway, so it didn't really matter. But I wanted to take all the pictures everybody else sent and post them as if that's what I saw, so I could kind of live vicariously through them. But I thought that was cheating, so I didn't. So I guess my new goal in life is to live long enough to see the next one. That actually was a question that just came through. What did I experience with the solar eclipse? Nothing. Absolutely frustration looking for glasses and enjoyment of watching it on the news and getting the pictures everybody else sent me. So that's it. My next question is, well, first of all, I don't know if this is a pajama top or a sweat top. Somebody gave it to me as a gift, and I'm wearing it today as a sweatshirt. But I think it might be a pajama thing, but you can't really see it anyway. But I'm going out in it if it's pajamas or not. I think it's, everybody wears pajamas now when they go out. Okay, if you never chose the career that you chose, what other career path do you think you would have chosen? I love that question. I think I would have been maybe some kind of a counselor of some sort, because I seem to be a good referee. I'm really good at helping others rationalize or come up with some kind of rationale as to who, what, why, and where. It seems like whenever somebody I know has some kind of issue, I'm called. And I usually walk them through it, or whoever's calling through it, and try to be devil's advocate and sit on the fence and look at both sides. So I think I'm really good at it. So I think maybe I would have been either a marriage counselor or something like that. I don't know what else is like that. Maybe just a counselor. But I like the thought of helping people resolve their issues that concern other people. Much better than just resolving their own inner turmoil that I'm not so good at, but sort of relationship issues seem to work nicely for me. Okay, what is something that makes you feel unstoppable? I think I'm going to redo this one with Gabby. I'll attempt to answer, but I don't think I ever really feel that way unless it's an animal issue. Some things irritate me so badly. I mean, there's a new one that recently happened that's just too horrific for me to even talk about, that happened in Wyoming. And it's made me never want to go to Wyoming. And it was just one person in his demented family that participated in this horrific behavior. And I am unstoppable because legally I have to be. I would do anything to be able to bring justice to the beautiful, beautiful creature that he hurt. I would really, but I'm stopped, because if I did go seek him out and I did do something, I'd be the one in jail. In the meantime, he only got a $250 fine. You figure. But yeah, I think animal issues are probably the one thing that would make me unstoppable if I was allowed to be. Okay, next. Do you strike up conversations with strangers in public regularly or avoid them? I'm quite a social being, so I don't go out. Like I'm never in the grocery store and decide to start talking to somebody. But if I am in a social environment and somebody strikes up a conversation with me, I more than happily speak back because I'm social. So my husband would disagree. He would say I would talk to anybody because I'm very chatty. He would say Risa, my friend Risa, would totally outshine me in that department. So when I think about Risa, no, I don't strike up conversations. If they're struck up to me, then I chat, but I definitely don't avoid them. My husband, on the other hand, hides from them. If he thinks somebody's going to talk to him, he'll walk the other way. I would say yes. Yes. I don't strike up, but I'm happy to be stricken too. I'm happy for somebody to strike up to me. What's the bravest thing I've ever done? Had children. That's very brave. People don't really appreciate all that goes into being a parent. And unless you're a parent, of course. But before having kids, I think people just think that their mom and dad were always just moms and dads, and that's the easiest job in the world. It's definitely the most thankless job in the world, but it's a very brave job because you have to keep your own patience in check, your own, everything about you changes. And that's brave. It's brave enough to go through one change, but when everything changes. And I think that's super, super brave to be able to, take on new lives that you're responsible for ever. Some people say, oh, they're my responsibility until 18 or 21. I don't agree with that. I think it's forever. It's a forever job because suddenly they don't turn 18 or 21 or whatever age. And you go, oh, see ya. You're grown up now. You can do it all by yourself because that spot in your heart that belongs to them doesn't leave. It's not all of a sudden it's time to go now because they've left home or time to go now they're married or time to go now they're a parent. It's just always there. And that's very brave. That's a very, very, very brave thing to do is be a parent. And then, of course, you become a grandparent and then all of it intensifies because you have that same love and worry all over again. And I think some people think it's a different love and worry. I don't. I think it's an extended love and worry. I have the same worries for my grandkids as I did for my own kids. And yeah. Anyway, I'm waffling now and went off topic, but to me, that's the bravest thing I've ever done. Okay, who do I admire most? I don't know. That's a really hard one. That's another one for Gabby. I wish I did know. I don't know if this is who I admire most, and I've talked about him so much, but here goes. I admire Ricky Gervais a lot because he's brave and he's funny and he's walks the walk with his animal compassion. And I admire all of those traits. So yeah, I don't know if that's who I admire most. That seems like a silly one to admire when there's so many people in the world that have like crazy and admirable traits. Right now I'm admiring that lovely flight attendant on, I don't even know what airline, Alaska Air, that saved those tiny little baby, I forgot what they were, flamingos, eggs. because the incubator broke on the plane. Google this because it's a great little story. The incubator broke on the plane and there were six eggs in the incubator on the way to Seattle. And the incubator broke and she figured out a way to keep them warm and the eggs warm enough so that they'll eventually hatch and eventually be baby flamingos that will eventually grow up to be big flamingos. So I admire that. I admire that she was clever enough and I guess intuitive enough to know what to do. Who would know? Anyway, I'm saving that one. I'm doing that one again with Gabby next week. Okay, if you were on death row, what would your last meal be? If I was on death row, I probably wouldn't be hungry because I would be so angry at myself for doing whatever I did to get me there. A, I'd be angry that I did whatever I did to get me there. And B, I would be angrier that I got caught doing whatever I did to get me there. So I don't know that I'd be hungry. Popcorn probably, because I could live on popcorn and rice. So that would be an easy one. I wouldn't ask for anything sophisticated because, again, I wouldn't be hungry. Okay, have I ever experienced deja vu? Yeah, quite often. And of course, now I can't think of any real examples, except my husband and I just did something and we both were like, we look at each other thinking we had done this before and we hadn't. But I think that's too hard of a topic to really articulate. It's more of a feeling. So, but yes, I have experienced. So that's my answer. Yes. Describe my perfect day. My perfect day would be waking up surrounded by all my animals and grandkids and doing whatever. If it's going to the beach, you're going watching them ski, not the animals, or sitting on the couch and watching TV with grandkids and the animals and doing that for a full day suits me fine. A really perfect day, I would probably throw in a foot massage, but and eat some popcorn and rice. Sad, right? So yeah, that's pretty perfect to me. Okay, next question. This is a weird one. When brushing your teeth, do you use your hand to get the water from the sink, or do you put your mouth under the faucet? I don't get it. I mean, I get it. I get what the question. I get it. I don't really know how to put my mouth under the faucet, so I use my hand. I guess we should really be using a glass. So I should change my answer to I use a glass, but I don't. I really use my hand. I'm gonna try putting my mouth under the faucet, but it's not really under the faucet. It's midstream or in the stream or something, not under the faucet, but in the water. Yeah, I'll try that. But I like using my hand because then it definitely goes to where it's supposed to go. Okay, do you prefer swimming in a pool or ocean? Good question. I don't swim. But if I were to stick my feet in either, which I do, it would be a warm pool. Bath water, warm pool. I don't like oceans. I like oceans to look at, but I don't really want fish touching my feet. I know it's really bizarre. And I don't really love the feel of sand on my feet. I don't know why. God only knows. But I would have to say, if I were a swimming pool person or an ocean person, it would be a swimming pool person. And my whole life, I thought I couldn't swim. I'm sure I've said this before. I always thought I couldn't swim. And when I was moving house, I was going through a box of photos just to see everything that was in there. And I found a picture of me when I was probably 5 diving off a diving board. I never knew. I never knew I could dive. I never knew my face has ever been in water. I didn't. And I obviously could swim because I did a pretty decent dive. So to the best of my I don't really recall, but to the best of my guessing, I must have had swimming lessons when I was really little and was able to swim and was able to dive. And then something must have happened and it must have frightened me to the point where not only do I not want to do either of those things, but I grew up thinking I couldn't do either of those things. So I don't really know what happened, but yeah, didn't work for me. But I kind of wish I could do it. But anyway, I can't. So yeah. Swimming would be the answer, though. Oh, I don't know, because thinking about it, I could, yeah, I love looking at the ocean, and I love looking at a beach, and I love, we'll keep with pool anyway, because I'm not getting graded on this, so that's okay. So next question is, where is my favorite place in the U.S.? With my animals and my grandkids. I have one grandchild in England too. I think that I love Boston. I don't spend time there ever, but I think it's a beautiful city. I love Toronto, which isn't in the U.S., but close enough. I love Santa Barbara in California, even though I'm not. Yeah, I love Santa Barbara. Yeah, I don't know that I really have a favorite. My favorite place in England is the Cotswolds. It's so beautiful. And so I love Cotswold stone. I love everything, just everything about it. I love the architecture. I love everything about it. I just love the villages. I'm definitely more of a small village person than I am a big city person in England. I think that probably everywhere, but definitely in England. I'm not a lover of London, but I like going for a couple of days to catch up with my friends or to, you know, do things there that you could only do there. But I could retire to the Cotswolds, I think. So yeah, that's my favorite place in England. Okay, yoga or Pilates? Neither. I don't really love either. But if I had to do one or the other, I don't really understand yoga. I know stretching is good, and I know it's meant to be good for your mind. That I don't understand. I'm a meditator, and I get taking care of my mind like that and my inner peace like that. But I don't understand. I don't really understand what yoga is meant to be really good for. So Pilates, I understand. I don't love doing Pilates, but I understand it. I understand the workout value of it. And I understand the feel good part of it. So my answer is Pilates. Next question is sand or snow? Well, we discovered a few seconds ago that I don't love walking in the sand. And as far as the snow goes, I don't ski, but I love looking at it. I like to have the hot chocolate while everybody else skis. I love mountain life, which I know I've discussed on here a zillion times. I just love the whole, I find my inner peace in the mountains. So I don't know. I guess in an ideal world, I would be, yeah, I like mountain living and sand vacationing. Yeah, I think that's a good answer. That might be a good one for Gabby too. Next, have you ever ruined a friendship over something you said? That's an easy one. Yes, all the time. Part of me thinks if they were really a friend, then what I said shouldn't have mattered. There should have been an understanding. But having said that, I also believe that if I said something harsh enough to end a friendship, then I said it on purpose. Because if I said something harsh enough to affect somebody's feelings, then there must be a reason. I don't just wake up one day and say something harsh or say something to end a friendship unless I want it ended. I think that if you have to say something that's that hurtful to somebody, then that shouldn't be a friendship. That should be an acquaintance that it's time to walk away from. This is a much longer story or much longer answer than I'm really up for at the moment. But it's really tough because I've said things that in hindsight were probably unnecessary. But at the time, I must have meant them. And I must have felt that going into it, once it was said, I wasn't taking it back. And not because I'm stubborn, because if I said it, it was meant to be said. I am stubborn, but that wouldn't be the reason for it. I recently said something to somebody that was repeated. And I said it to somebody that I quite liked, but it wasn't a dear friend, and I meant it. and it was repeated to that person. And that's the last time I'm ever talking about somebody, because it did affect my relationship with this person. And I don't care, because I didn't know her that well anyway, and it was more of a business relationship than a friendship. But I realized how hurtful it could be to say things. I think that you should never talk behind somebody's back anyway. You shouldn't, unless it's good things. But I said something about this person's work performance that I stand by, but she should have heard it from me than somebody else. And, oh, it's actually a longer story than that anyway, because I actually said it to somebody, who then said it to somebody else, who then said it to her. Anyway, how silly at my age to not have known better. But I didn't. And that's it. But I don't think I'm ever really sorry. I'm sorry that that happened. But if a friendship ended over something, a real friendship ended over something I said, they weren't a friend anyway. So if they ended it, so be it. That just goes to show how much they thought of me. And if I ended it, then I guess it told me what I thought of them. Because if it was worth saying, then it was worth saying. So on that note, that's the problem with talking to yourself, is when you have somebody else, you have that feedback to keep going and going and going. But I'm having kind of a lazy day. I've been traveling a lot. So after this, I'm going to, in my pajamas or sweatshirt, whatever this is, get out, get some fresh air, and head to the grocery store, run my errands, and then get on the couch with my dog. So I hope everybody has a really good rest of your week. And I look forward to my next chat, where there will be a ton more questions with Gabby. Okay, so that's it. Signing off from Gabbing with Girlfriends. Bye for now. Bye. Thanks so much for tuning in today. And be sure to follow Gabbing with Girlfriends on here so you never miss an episode. You can also find us on social media for more fun and in-depth conversations. Thank you.